Understanding ourselves and others is invaluable when communicating with prospects. This CD will help you understand why we humans do what we do and say what we say. As you listen to this CD, stay open-minded and flexible to maximize the benefits of an understanding of the psychological concepts that help determine human behavior, and thus buying behavior and your selling behavior.
Who said that? Throughout the course of a typical day, each of us initiates actions or reacts to our environment in a variety of different ways. Whether we're simply looking at ourselves in the mirror before breakfast, discussing the upcoming day with our loved ones, or selling to a group of high-powered executives, we're acting and reacting in ways which altogether help define our personalities. We make choices about what to say, what expressions to wear on our faces, what body language to use, and what physical actions to take based on rational, logical decision-making. In other words, we behave the way we do because we are masters of our destiny. Or are we? Transactional analysis, referred to commonly as TA, is a human relations model introduced by Dr. Eric Byrne in the 1950s and employed by David Sandler as one of the core philosophies of his renowned selling system.
Transactional analysis, or what we'll be calling from now on TA, was a theory that was developed by the late Dr. Eric Byrne in Carmel, California, in the middle 1950s. And it was really a system designed to help him as a psychiatrist understand human behavior quicker, better. He was in a therapy with a patient, a young lawyer in his 30s. And during the interview, in a moment of a very serious discussion, the lawyer said, Eric Byrne said to the lawyer, we're being very serious about something. Could you share with me why you were suddenly cracked up, laughing, splitting your sides, that kind of thing? And the lawyer said to him, it was a little boy inside of me that thought that what you said was kind of funny. And just like you do in your business, Eric Byrne in his business, said, tell me more about the little boy inside of you. And from that beginning, the concept of transactional analysis developed.
TA teaches us that we're not really in full conscious command of ourselves. Our thoughts and our behaviors are largely determined by a type of mental programming that most of the time we're hardly even aware of. The goal of transactional analysis is to help us become aware of these influences, these voices that speak to our subconscious, these tapes, if you will, which play back their little messages, both verbal and visual, in order to influence our behavior. Only by recognizing these tapes can we control their influence on us. If we understand which tapes are guiding us at any particular moment, we can end this sleepwalking behavior, take our lives off autopilot, and begin to act as our rational minds and our professional training tell us we should act. TA divides up these virtual tapes into three categories, three types of influences that govern our thoughts, feelings, and actions at different times and in different situations: parent, adult, child. These are the three ego states, the three tape recorders that influence our behavior. At any given time, we're in one of these modes, and we can change from one mode to another in the blink of an eye.
As you can see by the circle on the top of the page, one of those personalities is known as the parent personality. Now, as we'll be going through the couple days together, when we talk about the parent personality, what I mean is that when you're in an interpersonal relationship with someone else, and you or the other person assumes the stance of a parent, for instance, is it Jim? Oh, what's your first name, sir?
Dale.
When Dale, read your first line on the I said, he said, I think we can use that. Yeah, okay. Watch Dale and the little two-year-old girl. Dale says,
table.
Okay, sit down at the table. I mean, now, in this particular situation, the little girl, in fact, as far as Dale was concerned, had no options. He didn't say, I'd like you to sit down at the table. If you don't sit down at the table, here's what happens. If you do sit down at the table, Dale parented the little girl. I think it was kind of fairly obvious. When we are in that mode, when we're in that stance with a customer or any interface, when you are telling someone to do something in which they have no options, we would then be able to say, hey, you're coming from your parent ego state or parent part of your personality. Technically, for those of you who like that, this is called an ego state, the parent ego state. And you can see by the piece of paper, there are two kinds. The disciplining parent or the critical parent, as we saw in Dale's case. What's her name, Dale? What's the little girl's name?
Heather.
And that's pretty. I like Heather. In the case of Dale's little girl, Dale was becoming disciplining parent. Now, the other part of the parent ego state, as you can see on the piece of paper, is called nurturing parent. And this is the part of your parent ego state that you see in interacting with people. Let's suppose someone is in trouble, in pain. Could be a customer, could be a friend. And you're feeding them chicken soup to get them well again. You're helping these people come back. For instance, Dale's case with Heather, instead of him saying, sit down, he could say, gee, Heather, I'm really concerned that you're going to fall off this high chair, and I sure would appreciate it if you sit down and make us both happy. We would then say that Dale was coming from his nurturing parent as relation to his disciplining parent. Now, one of the, you don't need it on the rule page, because you're going to have it here, but one of the rules in selling is that 70% of your sales, 70% of your presentation, 70% of your interfaces with customers should come from nurturing parent. And of course, one of the problems that we have is that we tend not to get a lot of training as we're growing up in the nurturing parent position. We get more critical parent. I'm sure that, for instance, if you can go back to when you were a little kid, if you spilled a jug of milk on the floor, I'm sure mother, for the most part, except you were very lucky, the one or two people in the room who were very lucky, now, mother came over and said, gee, Johnny, that sure looks like an accident there. What do you say you and I go get a mop and we'll get down on the floor here and I'll show you how to clean this up. It's okay, kid. Yeah, I know. Yeah, sure, you know what she said. She said, hey, idiot, you know, God, only a dummy could do something like that, stupid, clumsy ox and all that stuff. And so generally what happened was we learned how to become disciplining parent. And of course, when we go out in the world and we're dealing with people, when we get upset, we tend to automatically, instinctively react from disciplining parent. The only problem we got is there's no place for it in sales. The customer happens to be the judge and jury, whether you like it or not. And it's okay to go disciplining parent, but you might as well give them the order back. So if you want to go disciplining parent, it's okay, but you always must measure what it costs you. Let's assume a commission on a job could be $500 or $1,000. And if you want to go disciplining parent, you just spent $1,000 to get your needs met. And so the point is, and we'll be working on a very important part of our program as we go through, that you're going to notice as I develop the selling system and work on this thing, that I'm going to always be shouting, nurture, 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 nurture. That's your stance coming from a sales presentation. Okay, that's the parent. You'll notice that there's a middle circle, and that middle circle is called the adult. Now, the adult really has nothing to do with how intelligent you are or how grown up you are. As you'll see in a few minutes, Dale's Heather over here already has her little adult starting to work. It's called the little professor or the spunky kid. And she's gathering in information. Doesn't mean that it's accurate. It's just like a computer, garbage in, garbage out. If we put into Heather's computer that 1 and 1 is 3, she'll spend the rest of her life proving it. If we tell her 1 and 1 is 2, she won't have much trouble in the world, especially with arithmetic. Now, this is the objective, rational, as you can see on that piece of paper, information, it computes. The adult inside of you is a computer. It turns on at the age of 10 months, and it plays forever. It is the only tape that I am presently talking to. It's the only tape that can hear me. It's the only one that's running. It's objective, non-emotional, non-biased, non-opinionated. The problem we have is that I talk to your adult just like I did when I got into that love issue. You know, I just felt, I started to get uncomfortable. I knew you guys started to get uncomfortable. Because as I started talking to your adult, instead of the information going in and we're both being objective about it, all of our tapes started running, mine and yours. The little people inside of us start feeling a different way. And so when information comes into your adult, you're bombarded from your parent and from your child. All right, here's the job of the adult. It's to filter information before you act upon it. The job of the adult is to filter information. Now, here's the misconception about transactional analysis that I don't want you to get hooked on. The idea is not to come adult all the time. Here's what an adult will look like. I am really having a great time. Isn't this fun? Gee whiz, aren't I excited? That ain't no fun. The job of the adult is to filter outside information and pick the appropriate ego state to come from. So if this is a situation like it is where we say, hey guys, let's look, we're going to be here together for 2 days, let's have a good time. Then my adult says, when information comes in, hey, it's appropriate to laugh. It's appropriate to have fun. Or it's appropriate to argue. Now, if you remember when we started off by talking about what you wanted to get out of this program, a lot of guys, I think it was you, sir. First name?
Mike.
Somebody back in that corner said, I get upset when people, or customers do things, or I lose my temper. Who said that? Was it over in that corner? Was it you, Mike?
I'm defensive.
Ah, okay. So what's happened, Mike, is when the outside information comes at you, instead of you filtering it and saying something like, what is wrong with that other person? Or why does that other person have the need to attack me? Or why does that other person's little person have to go up and get his critical parent? You react. It short circuits. Instead of going into your adult, it goes right down into the little guy inside of you. And then you react. Now, in a selling situation, what I'd like you to do is to filter all that outside information. And then select the appropriate ego state. Are you okay with that? The bottom circle is called the child. And in a few minutes, we'll go through and talk about the various parts of the child ego state. But every one of us has a little six-year-old that lives inside of us. And in the next couple of days, you're going to learn to meet that little guy. And this is, he's a very important part of what we're going to do, because it's a little guy inside of you that will make sales, will give them back. The little guy inside of you spends 5 minutes making a sale, 55 minutes buying it back. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but most sales work like that. You make the sale, and then you spend the rest of the interview taking it back. The little guy inside of you is the most important part of your sales presentation. Not that he does much in the sales presentation, it's what he doesn't do or how he hurts you. And we'll be talking about that in a little bit.
When you're in your child ego state, you're not just playing out a role. You're acting like the child you used to be. You're acting like the child you used to be. If you're acting in a spontaneous, impulsive, playful, loving, or yes, even hateful manner, you're coming from your natural child. If you're creative, thoughtful, or imaginative, you're coming from the little professor part of your child ego state. After my 8-year-old son thought of a very clever way to do his math homework, I heard him say, "Daddy, I was being very tricky, wasn't I?" Lastly, if you're experiencing feelings of not okayness when a prospect's really bearing down on you, you're coming from your adapted child. If you have a need to do something for someone to earn their approval, again, you're acting from your adapted child.